Thank you, Lord, again for your word. And we pray, Lord, that we would be students of your word, learners and livers of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Here come the notes. Multiple passages. If we don't cover them all, that's fine. So I'm not trying to detail these, but I do want to highlight and notice how many different things repeat over and over in the New Testament. Most of these are in the epistles. So even if you have a very narrow view of Scripture, that the epistles only apply to us, I don't think you can weasel out of the concepts that we've been talking about here. So, Josiah, we need a couple more up here when you get a chance to, please. All right, I'm just going to go down, and again, these are cultural assimilation, and there's so many different things, passages of Scripture in the New Testament. Only the first two are in the Gospels, which I believe apply, but if you don't even agree with that, I don't know who would disagree, but I'm just saying, the rest are all from the epistles. And it's showing you that there's a stark difference between what the Bible teaches we are to be as believers and what other people are to be, or what the world is. So, over and over. And if you, I would encourage you to highlight and mark this up. It's a lot easier to mark up notes than someone telling you how to mark your Bible, right? So I mark my Bible up a lot, but not because you tell me to, right? So let's just go down the list as far as we can in the time that we have, okay? Matthew 5, 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for what? Nothing, right? The purpose has been lost. It's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. It also says you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And here's the command here, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good what? Works. That means that you have said no to a lot of stuff and said yes to a lot of stuff so that you are doing good works. That your lifestyle is dominated by how you care for others, right? They may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now the Bible does teach that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the what? The Word of God. So you people cannot be saved by your good works. Fair to say that? They cannot comprehend the gospel by your good works. But let me tell you, your good works can give a foundation to your words. Right? They illustrate things. Notice here that they may see your good works and glorify God in the day. It doesn't say day of visitation in this passage, but a parallel one. They may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What does that mean? I believe that means in another passage, I think it's in Luke, it says they may glorify God in the day of visitation. The idea when God brings about in His providence the gospel before them, they're not using your works as an excuse not to believe, if that makes sense. And we can certainly live lives that give people reason not to consider the gospel. And he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God in heaven. Luke 8 is a passage. A lot of people see the four soils as three of them are unsaved and one is saved. That would be probably more of a lordship salvation, perseverance of the saints view. But the Bible does say that the seed falls on the stony ground. And I think in Mark it says they believe for a while and then they fall away because of temptation and trials and all of that. I believe that the stony ground, the thorny ground, and the good ground are all believers. I believe that life indicates life. Fruitfulness indicates fruitfulness. I won't try and prove that today because I'm just giving you a little background. But notice, I believe that believers can be immature and fall away. I believe that believers, verse 14 here says, now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, These are people under the Word of God. When they have heard, they go out and are choked. And there's three things in this passage. There's a parallel passage, two other parallel passages that break them down a little differently. But it says with the cares or worries, some people become unfruitful because of worries. It says the riches, and that could be something you own that you have to take care of. You're so encumbered by stuff. Or it could be the pursuit of riches. You might not have any money, but it's driving you in your decisions. And the pleasures of this life, what you like to do rather than what God calls you to do. Remember, taking up your cross is not a pleasure. It's a hard thing. A discipleship is a hard road. But it says here, they've heard and they go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. They never get to the point of accomplishing what God has brought them to life to be, and that is fruitful. But you have the ones that fell on the good ground or those having heard the word with a noble and good heart. What do they do with it? What does it say? They keep it. You see that? They keep it. Is every believer an obedient believer? No, we've talked about it. Friendship of the world, enemy with God, right? Don't love the world. Keep yourself from loving the world. It's something that you can disobey God in. But you need to approach the Word of God, listen to the Word of God with a noble and good heart, with the intent to listen, learn, and then what? To do it, to keep it, right? That parallels with Matthew 28. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, and I'm abbreviating here, and then teaching them to what? To know whatever I've commanded. Is that what he says? To observe, to do, to be what I've commanded, right? That's salvation fleshed out in our lives, is to become what Jesus has commanded us to be. Romans 1 has to be one of the saddest passages in the Bible, but it is also one of the most culturally current passages in all of the Bible. By the way, if you find out that I've listed a passage and I don't list all the verses, I've done that so it all fits on a half sheet. Many of these passages don't have all the verses in them here. But notice here, Romans 1, 28 to 32, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Now this is the world. But we can be influenced and we can be assimilated by the world. We can become like the world. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Do you retain God in your knowledge? I mean, more than just a casual thought now and then. We're to be driven by the knowledge of God. We're to meditate in the Word of God every Sunday morning between 10 and 11. Is that what the Bible says? Day and night. We're to be infused with the Word of God. The world doesn't like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. And by the way, hate in the Bible has nothing to do with feeling. It has to do with action. It has to do with your choice. Violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, which is the root authority, right, in Scripture. There's other authorities, but that's, if you disobey your parents, you're going to disobey everybody. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgments of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of what? Death. Well, you mean unforgiving and unmerciful? Yes. Not only do the same, but approve of those who practice them. Are we believers that follow that same course? That we not only do the same, but approve of them? Sometimes I wonder what our entertainment is like. Because we are entertained by the sin of the world. Are you with me? That's what this is describing here. We approve those who practice them. Our heroes are people that hate God and ignore God. Let's jump to Romans 13. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Right? And he's talking to believers again. He's saying we need to spiritually, as the army would say, wake up! Sorry if you were sleeping. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Again, the Bible approach is like, you don't have time to do your own thing. Look around. Therefore, let us cast off. He's talking to believers. Cast off the works of darkness that we can be doing. We have no business doing the works of darkness. And let us put on what? Hey, we need to dress for battle rather than scrimmaging with the other side. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness. And here's that word that keeps popping up over and over again, lust. We're not doing what we want to do, not in strife and envy. But he goes on and he's telling believers to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its what? Lusts again, right? He's talking to believers and they say, you have no business walking like an unbeliever. You need to make choices to walk with God and make no provision for the flesh. Right? He's talking to believers again. He's calling them to account and saying, you know what? You don't have time to scrimmage with the other team, the enemy team, if you will. You need to put on the armor of light because you're here for a purpose. Don't forget your purpose. 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 20. We're starting at verse 15, as you'll see. There's more to the context, but we'll read what's here. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. By the way, an affirmation again of marriage as described in Genesis, right? Verse 17, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. That identifies our connection to God as a believer. We are spiritually connected to the Lord Jesus. Therefore, it goes on to say, flee sexual immorality. We are to be different. And by the way, sexual immorality is not just active immorality. You don't have to commit adultery to commit immorality. You can entice people to bad thoughts by what you wear. You can read books that have to do with immorality. You can look at websites that have to, or entertainment or whatever. Right? It's all there. Flee sexual immorality. You're supposed to run away from it, not binge watch it. Right? Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit is within you, whom you have from God. And what's the next part here? This is worth underlining. A lot of Christians don't understand this, don't get this. You are not your what? Own. You ever said, you're not my boss? You ever said that to anybody? Well, you're not your boss. You don't have a right to control your life, your activity, your thoughts. Your body belongs to God. And it goes on to say here, at least in some texts, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are what? gods. Immaterial, material. That's pretty much all that you are. Right? Your body belongs to God, and everything in your body, material and immaterially. Again, we're working through just rapid fire through passages of Scripture that relate to the idea that God expects us to be starkly different than the world. And it's not a rare idea. It's literally, this is not an exhaustive list. Right? 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And you can do that in so many ways now. We are to impact believers. We are not to join believers. For what fellowship, and by the way, all of these require a no answer, right? What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? There's nothing. There's no fellowship that righteousness has with lawlessness. They're opposites. What communion has light with darkness? None. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Absolutely no commonality at all. You cannot mix or merge them together. Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? A lot of people like to use that for dating. I think it applies to dating. But it's at every level. You're there to impact people, not to become like them. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, and he's quoting out of the Old Testament, funny enough, but he applies it to the New Testament believer, come out from among them and be what? You are to be different than the world. You're not to be like the world. And if you can't tell the difference, and if other people can't tell the difference, it's not the world that's in the wrong place. It's you. Because the world is going to live in a worldly way. The Christian is commanded to come out and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And again, excuse me if I'm sound a little arrogant or belligerent, but I didn't write any of this. I'm only reading it out loud. So if you reject it, it's not because of Kevin standing here, because I didn't make it up and I wouldn't have written it, because I'd make it real easy for me. Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. That's what Paul says. I have been crucified to the world and the world has been crucified to me. That means there's a severance there, a separation. I'm in the world, but I am not what? Help me out. Of the world, right? I'm from a different place. I am now a citizen of heaven, not a citizen of earth. And therefore, I conduct myself differently. I communicate differently. I concentrate differently. All of those things. Flip your sheet over, please. This is 11 verses out of 18 in Ephesians. But this is strong too. This is the first 11 verses of Ephesians 5. Therefore, Paul says, be imitators of God. Really? That's a pretty high standard. Fair? Be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. Lots of commands here to walk and all. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us. You walk the same way Christ walked in love toward us. And given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. By the way, you're familiar with John 3:16? 1 John 3:16, which is not in your notes. By this we have come to know love, that Christ gave himself for us, and we also, the word is alphalo, it's Greek alphalo, we are indebted, we are obligated to give our lives for the brethren. That's the application of the gospel to one another. You are obligated to die for fellow believers because you have come to understand the love of God. That we're to walk in that same kind of love. Now, verse 3 of Ephesians 5. But the opposite of love, fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting or proper for saints, for holy ones, for those that have been saved, made holy and standing by salvation. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not, again, fitting or proper. There are things that are not proper for you as a follower of Jesus. But rather, giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator... This is how bad sin is, right? And we lower sin. But no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man... Covetous man? Tied it in with fornicator? Who is an idolater? We can be idolaters through just through coveting. None of those has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Too many empty words in pulpits, I believe, this day. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. These are the very things that are condemning people to the wrath of God. Therefore, do not be, here's the command, do not be partakers with them. Does that imply that you can? Not from the wrath of God, from an eternal thing. I think wrath of God is, this is a temporary kind of thing. There's consequences to decisions. Okay? The wrath of God comes, therefore do not be partakers with them. Is Paul saying that they can be partakers or they might be partakers? He's definitely saying that. Do not be partakers with them. Why command that if that's not possible? There would be no reason for that to exist in the Bible. Do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness prior to salvation, but now you are light in the Lord. Because you are in the Lord, now you are light. That is your standing. Then it goes on to say what? Because that's true in your standing, make that true in your practice. Walk as children of light. See the difference? It's what you were once darkness, now you're light. Live that way. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have how much fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness? How much? No fellowship. How much is that? Absolutely none. What are we supposed to do? Expose them. We're to be the other side saying, you know what? Holy God, that's wrong. According to God, that's wrong. You remember how John the Baptist died? Just read that in my Bible reading this week. Remember that? How did John the Baptist die? Anyone? He got his head cut off. Sounds like a conversation we were having this morning in my living room, but a totally different type of conversation. You know why? He was in prison. Not to say that the immediate things that brought his head right to Herod's daughter. But he was in prison because he told Herod that he shouldn't be married to his brother's wife. He was exposing. And it cost him his life. Right? We're to expose the unfruitful works of darkness, not participate in them. Philippians 2, 14 through 16. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Part of a believer's walk is to do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless. God wants you to effectuate, actuate, activate the gospel in yourself, right? Work your salvation out in a functional way. Children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You listen to me? This generation If you will, this world is perverse. If you become assimilated by the world, you have twisted what God intended for your life. God has placed you here to shine His lights in the world. Colossians 3, we're going to be in this Wednesday a little more, but let me just highlight this. And again, a lot of people don't realize that this is in here. How do you spend your time, your thoughts? Okay? Colossians 3, 1 through 8. If then you were raised with Christ, what would we say? How would we summarize that? If you're saved, if I can use it that way, okay? This is a command now. It's a present tense imperative. Be seeking, actively seeking, in an ongoing way, be seeking those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. You're to actively be pursuing, in an ongoing way, those things which are above. And then notice what it says in verse 2. It's the contrast again. What does it say here? This is a present tense imperative again. Set your mind, what? On things above. And what's the next word after the comma? Remember we said earlier, part of the grace of God tells you to say no? Set your mind, be setting your mind on things above. What? Not on things on the earth. Do you realize that as God's grace is being revealed to you, you'll put down things that you have no business doing as a believer? Because it takes up the valuable time that God placed you here on earth to accomplish what He wants you to accomplish. Set your mind on things above, not on things in the earth. Why? For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. He looks to the future again. Remember that forward look. You don't have time to waste time during your time on earth. Therefore, put to death. That's another command. Your members which are on the earth. Fornication, He says, your members. These are all part of us that we get the new body when the flesh is renewed through salvation, you know, the final act of our bodies being transformed. Put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, again, which is stated, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. He states it over and over. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. God states it and says, by virtue of your standing, you are no longer there. Live out your standing. Set your mind on things above. What? Not on things in the earth. And that's an ongoing present imperative. And I would venture to say again that many Christians have no idea that Christianity is meant to be an ongoing thing where they're saying no to many things so that they can say yes to other things. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. I would call that service in a summary kind of way. And to keep oneself what? Unspotted from the what? If you want to summarize Christianity, what discipleship is down to the core idea, it's service and sanctification. God wants you helpful and God wants you holy. And if I could go back to the previous message, is that you? If not, you're missing what God saved you for. You need to grow up and grow in Christ and understand what you're there for. 1 Peter 5, 8, 9, be sober. These are commands again. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Right? It tells us to be awake and alert. In the army, they told us to stay alert, stay alive idea. And that's this is military talk. Like, there, you have an enemy. Quit living like you don't have an enemy. You actually have three, right? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Here's the devil here. It says here, you're to resist him. If you're not resisting the devil, you're not choosing to say no to the path that the devil wants you on. You are on the devil's path. You have to resist him actively to fight the enemy. Otherwise, you're on his path. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You're going to look strange, be strange to the world around you because they're not on the same course. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. Grace to you and knowledge of grace to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us. Interesting here. What does it say here? All things that pertain to life and godliness. Did you know that God has given to you all things that pertain to life and godliness? And do you know that if you carried one of these in any form, he's referring to this, how he's given. Notice what he says here. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious, what? Promises, that through these, through these great and precious promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature. If you will, in an active way, being able to experience God truly through the knowledge of God and obeying that knowledge. It doesn't come automatically because you're saved, any more than a baby grows to maturity just by being born. There's a process of maturity to where you can do and stand on your own, handle yourself. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. And notice what it says here, having escaped the corruption that is in the what? World through what? Lust. Sounds like the same thing we've been talking about all day. God has given you the Word of God so that you can be the people of God in the midst of the world and live in a completely different way than the world lives. And you cannot do that. It's not automatic. 1 John 2:6. He who says he abides in him, the word is ophelo again, is obligated himself also to be walking just as Jesus walked. If I can paraphrase in that way. If you're not walking like Jesus, quit calling yourself a follower of Jesus. You're just deceiving yourself, as Hebrews would say. Two more passages, they're both in 1 John. 1 John 2:28 to the first three verses of 1 John 3. And now, little children, be abiding, that's present tense imperative, in him, that when he appears, notice the look forward again, be living, remaining in him, abiding in him, living in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence. What's the other option when Jesus comes? Confidence or shame? We may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. That's your two choices. Again, there's not three, there's not five, there's two. You're abiding in him or you're rebelling against him. And that will lead to shame at Jesus coming. If you know that he is righteous, if Jesus is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. And if you're saved today, you are a child of God. But God wants you to be a child of God in word, in action, in attitude. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What does John say after that? And everyone who has this hope, what does a person do that lives on the basis of the return of the Lord Jesus? What are they doing? They're purifying themselves just as he is pure. Is that you? Are you living to be every lawless deed is purged, every God wants to purify us. That's what it says here. If you're looking forward, that's the result. You're going to be purifying yourself. You're not going to be doing what you want. You're going to be doing what God wants. And lastly here, this is only one of the verses. It's verse 3 out of the last 3 in the 1 John 5. But it said, for this is the love of God. What? So you know that was in the Bible too? Thought the commandments were just the Old Testament? That we keep His commandments. You know what? You want to express love to God? If you love me, He said in John 13, He said, keep my commandments. Don't say you love God and ignore what God has to say, because they don't go together. You're either with God or you're fighting against God in function. And His commandments are not burdensome. They're beneficial. God did not command you to do things to make your life miserable. He saved you to free you to do what He intended you to do in the first place, to live in righteousness and holiness before Him. And that's what He calls us to do. And again, this is not an exhaustive list. You could read through the New Testament, and I think 12 hours, maybe less. It's ridiculously small. The epistles is even less. Read through them and see how many times God is exhorting believers to be starkly different from the world. He has called us out of darkness into His light. Walk, be walking as children of light. We're to be different. Are you different from the world, or have you been assimilated by our culture? And that's a binary answer. It's either yes or no. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for our time in Your Word. Lord, in a day when Christianity seems to be do whatever you want, that is not what the Bible teaches, and therefore it is not true Christianity. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to walk with You in helpful service and pure holiness as pursuits. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.